three-part series, God Has a Call on Your Life. I'm going to do a quick review of last week. Remember last week, Jake put a picture up. There's three things about the call, just to review. It's God-initiated. In other words, we found that Jeremiah said, when God was speaking to him, before you were born, I knew you. Before he was even conceived in the womb, God knew him and had a call on his life. God initiates the call. We're not interested. He's got to get our attention. And he has a plan for each of us. Letter B, his love for you motivates him to rescue you. We all need to be rescued from sin, but here's something else. We need to be rescued from ourselves, do we not? Sometimes we are our own worst enemy. God says you're worth it. You may be here today and you say, you know, I don't feel like I'm that important in life, my skills, my ability, and we tend to devalue or discount what we can do. God says, wait a minute, I want you to rethink this, get a different mindset. You are important to him. As a matter of fact, you're worth it. Jesus died for you. He wants to rescue you, and he's got you on his radar. Love for you motivates him to step into your life and to make his call clear in your hearts. Lastly, letter C, invitation. We get all kinds of invitations in life. We can get invited to birthday parties, family gatherings. Maybe you'd get an invitation from a high-level public figure or the White House. Let me tell you what the most important and the highest level call is. It's when God invites you to be a part of the kingdom plan, his purpose for you. He invites us to become a player and engaged in what he is doing in people's lives. So last week we said we're called to be followers of Jesus, we're called to be holy, and we're called to be whole. He's got a plan to heal our brokenness. So today, this is what I want to do in part two. Last week was about what we needed to be. Today we're going to talk about what God calls us to do. Two different things. To do. There are four points I want to share with you about God's call on your life that he calls us to do things. Now, in your notes, please read with me Ephesians 4. And Jackie, you can turn that one off, please. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let's read those together. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Circle the word worthy. Paul says, whatever your calling is that you receive, live your life in a worthy way. You know what he's saying is this. Our lives need to be realigned to match the calling to which he's called us to. If there's changes he needs to make in me, let him make them so that I can live a life worthy of his calling on my life. The worst damage done in the church or the testimony of a Christian is when people have a high calling, but their life performance is way down here, and they don't match. People watch us, do they not? But we're not perfect. We're human beings. But listen, have an eye on living out your calling in such a way that it'll honor God, to be worthy in such a way of the calling he's imparted in our lives. Okay, so four thoughts of what God has called each of us to do. He calls us to do it. Number one, in your notes, God calls everyone to serve. No exceptions. Do you realize you're sitting there today? People are listening online. You are called by God to serve other people. No exceptions. We find here in 1 Peter 4:10. Let's read this together. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in various forms. In other words, when you receive Christ into your life, God deposits gifts into you through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And he says, here, I want you to use these to serve other people. Now, some people, as they get up in age, say, well, I really can't do much. And they think they're not that significant or important. I want to challenge that. And here's what I mean. Everybody can do something. You can pray in your home. That's a gift to serve other people. You can pick up the phone and use the gift of encouragement to speak with somebody over the telephone just to lift them up. You can write them a note. Everybody's got something. Now, here's the secret. You and I have to figure out our gifts and how God wants me to serve other people. We're all different. Peter says everybody needs to use whatever gift they have to serve other people. I read a story about during World War II, there's a church in Strasbourg, France that got bombed. The building was destroyed. Afterwards, the people went back into it. And there was one thing that survived. It was a statue of Christ that was years old. There's only one problem with it. A beam had fallen from the ceiling, and it had knocked off the arms or knocked off the hands of Christ, and there were just stubs. They consulted a local sculptor, and the guy says, hey, I can fix that, and I'll do it for free. I just want to be of service. The people thought about it, and they decided not to restore his hands. This why? They thought it would be a good reminder that we are the hands of Christ. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we are the hands of Christ in this world, and we're to be about serving other people. There's a text in Genesis 24. Abraham is getting up in years, and he wants to find a wife for his son Isaac. So he sends a servant to a distant country in order to have the servant bring back a wife for Isaac. And so let's read together these two verses. Drink, my lord, she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels too, until they have finished drinking. So the servant comes to a well and comes upon this young lady by the name of Rebecca. Rebecca says, I'll give you a drink. And then without even him, the servant, asking her, she volunteered this. Not only will I give you a drink, I will water your camels too. You know what this is? Rebecca is a second mile servant. She went the extra mile. She did something not even asked of her. You want to be a servant that is marked by amazing grace? Be an extra mile Christian. Do what's expected of you or asked, but then go the extra mile. Do something beyond what is expected or asked of you. Be a Rebecca, an extra miler. This church has a great number of second mile servants. They step up and do what's asked of them, but you know what? They go well beyond it. That is an amazing thing. I got to compliment and commend you as a church family for being that way. Peter says, use your gifts to serve others. Be an extra mile servant. Go above and beyond. Make a difference. Surprise somebody with your kindness, your generosity. Here's a couple quotes. You are not called to serve in a place. You're called to serve in place of our Savior. You and I are his hands and his feet in a broken world. And let me say this. Serving water is an act of service. People on Tuesdays, literally, they do a soup meal. Many people here have been a part of that. Let me tell you, that's an amazing thing. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher. Maybe whatever you do, you serve other people in very practical ways. You are the hands and the feet and the voice of Jesus. And here's the last quote. You're just called to serve. I want you to understand, everybody here is called to serve other people. And as Pastor Jack said, it's not that we have to do it. We get to do it. We get the privilege of serving other people. If you want to find fulfillment and contentment in life, just develop a habit of serving other people, their interest, and go the extra mile. Your heart will be so filled with a sense of goodness of God, that's the reward all in itself. So, number one, everybody's called to serve. That's action. Number two, the second point is God calls some to lead. He calls some to lead. Let me explain that. Some people like to stay in the background. That's okay. That's the way they're wired. Other people have something inside them that says, you know what? I don't know. I feel like I need to step up. I need to lead a group of people. Look at Joshua 1:6 in your notes. Let's read it. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Circle the word lead. It means to manage. It means to oversee. It means to direct. Now, let me give you some examples. Some of you here are life group leaders. They happen at home or at church, and you have a group of 8 to 10 people, and you lead them. You shepherd them. That's lead. That's leadership. Here's another example. Jane, who's with Operation Christmas Child, that's her passion. She leads that. And throughout the year, she'll have 2 or 3 people, 5 or 10, that help out downstairs, assembling boxes, coordinating things. But she leads that group of people to accomplish a kingdom goal. You may be here today, and there's something inside you that challenges you to be a leader. And God is saying, hey, I will give you a group of people that you will work with to accomplish something for the kingdom. There's other things like it could be the trustees, and Kevin Charles is the leader of that. Women's and men's ministry. It could be refreshments. A leader directs other people. Now, in your notes on the back side, let's read together Romans 12. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. That's only one gift, but the point is this. Some people, not everyone, is called to lead. Now, I have 4 slides I want to show you. Here's the first one. Called to lead. And, you know, it's just a clarion call. When Joshua became the new Moses, God said to him, you're going to lead these people to inherit something. You're here today, and because of the way you are wired, what God has gifted you to do, he may be stirring your heart, and you know what he wants to do? He wants you to get a group of people around you to lead them and other people into an inheritance using your giftings. Here's the second quote. A leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. A leader's got to be all in. Here's the third one. You can't expect to move forward if your emergency brake is on. So true, isn't it? Ask yourself this question. Is your emergency brake on in your life? And you say, you know, I can't, I don't, I shouldn't, I don't want to do that because of this. Maybe you're breaking yourself. And God wants to set you free of that. And here's the last quote. I just had to put this one in. Max Lucado. A man or a woman who wants to lead the orchestra must turn his back on the crowd. Let me stop here. The people you lead, whether it's two or three or ten or more, is your orchestra. You know what orchestras do? They make music. And when a leader steps up to lead his or her orchestra, beautiful things happen. You got to get focused on it. You're here today, and maybe God is stirring your heart for you to be a leader in some area, and there's so many areas of ministry out there, to make a difference where you have your own orchestra, your own group of people to make good things happen. All right, so number one, God calls everybody to serve. Number two, God calls some to lead. Number three, God calls all of us to press on. To press on. Read with me Philippians 3:2. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Imagine a weightlifter. He's got his back on the bench. He's got a lot of weights on the bar. And he exerts pressure to lift the weight. Or a runner, a man or a woman who wants to better their time. And they're running the race, and they press on in order to have a better time, to improve their performance. There's a great secret in the second verse, and here's what it is. Paul says, I exert pressure to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. You may be here today, and you're trying to figure out your life's purpose. Jesus took hold of you for something. Our job is to figure out what he took hold of me to do. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He's got an orchestra lined up for me that's waiting if I'm willing to press on, figure it out, take hold of it, and I'll live out his purpose for my life. This should be a prayer for all of us. We just want to push on and take hold of that which Jesus took hold of us. The book of Acts, chapter 6. The widows aren't getting enough food, and there's some complaining and murmuring. And this is the end result of what the disciples said they needed to do. Let's read these verses. It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Here's what happened. A need arose that the widows weren't getting enough food. The disciples said, well, it's an important thing, but we want to find people who can serve the widows. So they found seven people, full of wisdom and in the Spirit, and they basically took over that responsibility. In our church, we have what we call deacons or deaconesses. It's a one-year course of study to elevate a ministry fruitfulness of some life. And I would say these seven people in this story are a great example of a deacon or deaconesses. So we have Tammy and Priscilla that are currently deaconesses in the church. But here's the challenge. Maybe in your life, you feel like you are called to do something more. You're not sure what it is. And maybe this deaconess track, this 1 year of study will improve the version of you. It'll increase your fruitfulness. And so maybe God is calling you to something more. Here's a couple quotes. Keep pressing forward. This applies to everybody. We want to be a church that presses forward the best that we can to serve our community and around the world. Whether it be water filters or whether it's something local through the food bank here, we want to keep pressing pressing forward. Here's the other one. Press through the pressure. You may be here today and you may have a very pressurized season of life. Stick with it. Press through it. There's a blessing in your pressing. In other words, God will take whatever is going on in your life, and if you just keep moving forward, keeping Him on your radar, He will turn it into a blessing and make it work for good. But point number three is real simple. God calls each of us, to keep pressing on. Okay, and finally, number four. This is a big one. The fourth thing that God calls us to is this. He calls certain individuals to vocational ministry. Now, read with me verses 12 and 13 in your notes. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. I want to focus on one word there. There's quite a list. Circle the word pastors. There's different ways a calling can play out. For some, it could be a youth ministry calling. God has an orchestra of people that He wants you to care for, and you're called to youth ministry. Here's another one. It could be worship leader. Maybe your gifting is in that area, and he wants you to use that as a calling to be a blessing to other people. Maybe there's somebody here today who's called to be a pastor, where you shepherd a church, you shepherd a group of people. It's a calling. God plants it in people's lives. You may be here today and you said, I've never thought about that. I don't think that's even possible. You know what? God is in the business of dropping callings into people's lives in unexpected times, in unexpected places, to unexpected people. You never know what God will call people to do. So, as I mentioned earlier, last Thursday and Friday, Jack were in Gloversville. I want to show you four slides of people and give you some examples of people who have a calling. Here's the first one. This is Amy Stacy. She's in her early 20s. She's a nurse. And she felt called to ministry. She's still teaching nursing, but she's on this ordination track where she's studying and learning. She's ahead of the greeter system at her church. She works with kids. She went to Kenya not long ago. And she had this call. She's a nurse, but she's got a calling in her to do something more, and she's pursuing it. Here's another one. This is Chris and Heidi Leach. I think they're in their 50s. They have four kids, lots of grandkids. And they're up there, they're serving. They're just real human people. It's a husband and wife team doing ministry up there. Here's a third one. This is Bree Smith, Saratoga Church. She's a worship leader. Music is her thing. She plays the guitar, she sings, and she does other things, works with kids, loves small groups. She's got two kids, she got her husband, and she's in, I think, her late 20s, 30s. And but she's called. She had something inside her that says, you know what? There's something more for me to live out. Here's the last one. This is Chris and Joanne Shumsky. And Joanne was here a few years ago and spoke at the women's retreat. They're up at Herkimer, and they're just a husband and wife team, very fruitful. God has been blessing them. And do you remember Bishop Snyder, for those that have been around a while? That's his daughter. And so, but they've been called. The reason you do what you do is because you've been called. Now, let me summarize, before we wrap up, four different things that God calls us all to. Number one, we're called to serve. The question is, do you know your serving pathway based on the gifts He's dropped inside of you? Number two, God calls some people to lead. You may be sitting here and you know in your heart what God is calling you to do. He's calling you to lead. He has an orchestra of people he wants you to oversee to make good things happen. Number three, he calls each of us to press on. Doesn't make any difference who you are, young or old, middle age. You got to exert some pressure to figure out what God has called us to do. And then number four, for some, he calls to vocational ministry. We have a call in our life for a certain pathway that we need to follow. So I think I have three slides to conclude. Here's the first one. Some are called to vocational clergy. That's like you become a pastor, you're ordained. Some are called to be vocational laity. In other words, you're not called to be a pastor or that position. You're just called to be laity in a powerful way. All are called to ministry. I want everybody here to understand God has a call on your life. Nobody's accepted. No exclusions. You know what? You're valuable to Him. You're worth it. He wants to bless you. He wants to do something in and through you. And I think this is the last slide. I guess there's only two. I love this. Here we go. Someone somewhere is depending on you to do for God what God has called you to do. Let me stop. Somebody somewhere out there in this world, in Walton or even beyond, is depending on you to fulfill your calling because they need you. And you can't be replaced. And so I want us, as we wrap this up, and by the way, next week I decided to do a part three, and here's what I'm going to talk about next week. How do we really hear God's voice? How do we understand it or perceive it? How does that work? We're going to talk about that next week. I hope you come back. But where I want to end with this one, someone somewhere is depending on you for you to do, to step up to what God has called you to do, because you can meet a need in their life. Let's bow for prayer. Just take a few moments right now. Be still, clear your heart and mind, and I'm going to walk through these four areas. Number one, everybody here is called to serve. Where is God leading you to serve that you may not currently be active in? He'll show you. Just let Him speak to your heart. You're His hands and feet. Number two, some, not all, some are called to lead. You're called to be a Joshua. You know what you'll do? You're going to lead other people to inherit something God has for them. If God's calling you to be a leader, you'll know it. Your heart is stirred when you hear those words. Number three, everybody is called to press on. Here's my question. How's your pressing on factor in your life? Are you really going after it? Or have we just kind of come to a coasting place? The call of God is to press on, make a difference, be a world changer, be a Rebecca, a miler. Wherever you go, make your life count, invest in other people, be a conduit of blessing. And then lastly, the vocational calling. Could it be that there's somebody here today that God is calling to another place in life, another position of their heart, to serve the body in a totally different way. Maybe it's youth ministry. Maybe it's worship leader. Maybe it's pastoring. Maybe it's a teacher. What is he calling you to do? Just listen and he'll communicate that to you. Father, you're the God that breaks up fallow ground, our hardened hearts. You can come and water them and they become fertile, and you plant new seeds in our souls. I pray for this entire congregation and those listening online that you would make clear the call of God in their life. They would become excited about it, because it will bring an aliveness to life that can come in no other way. So Lord, take us as a congregation in Walton, New York, and we offer ourselves before the throne of grace, before the world of 195 countries, and we pray that your call will be birthed in each of us in a new way to make a difference in a hurting, broken, dying world. Lord, we love you. We want our lives to count. We offer ourselves at the throne of grace and pray you'll bless us going forward. And for this, we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.